One little yellow bird could hold an important key to conservation in its genes. This is the Allegheny Front Environment Update. I'm Carol Holsapple. Scientists are using gene sequencing, identifying DNA's building blocks, to get clues about how birds adapt to climate change. Rebecca Williams has more.
Yellow warblers are a beautiful, bright yellow bird. In the summer, you can find them throughout most of the U.S. A study in the journal Science finds there are genetic differences in yellow warblers that live in different parts of the U.S. and Canada, and some of those populations seem to be more genetically vulnerable to climate change than others. Rachel Bay is the lead author of the study at the University of California, Davis.
So we did some genome sequencing, and we found a bunch of genes who seem to be associated with whether yellow warblers lived in warmer or drier or hotter or colder areas.
She says then they took a look at climate projections and tried to predict whether these warbler populations would be able to adapt to future climate change.
So we were actually able to map how much yellow warbler populations across the U.S. would need to adapt to future climate change.
Bay says in most places in their genome, yellow warblers that live in different regions of the country are the same.
But in some places, you'll have differences. And what we're looking for are differences that are related to climate.
She says they found yellow warblers seem to be the most sensitive to changes in precipitation. So Bay says warblers that spend their summers in drier areas of the country could have a harder time adapting, and that could result in a drop in population.
We saw this sort of strip of vulnerability in the Rocky Mountains. That was the most vulnerable part of the country. And then we saw some sort of patchy vulnerability both on the west and east coast, while the middle of the country seemed to be much less vulnerable.
Bay says she hopes gene sequencing could give wildlife managers more specific information to protect the most vulnerable species. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Rebecca Williams.
And Rachel Bay spoke with us through Skype. Well, it's one thing to hear or read a news story about climate change. It's another to understand and evaluate it. A recent report by the House Science, Space, and Technology Committee shows a Russian group generated thousands of social media posts about fossil fuels and climate change from 2015 to 2017. These were aimed at reinforcing the beliefs of people on the right and the left to influence U.S. energy policy. Peter Cormis teaches science education at California University of Pennsylvania. He says scientific literacy is indispensable when wading through news and sometimes misinformation coming at us.
Just knowing facts, scientific facts, actually might not be able to help you too much in determining the difference between fake news, misconceptions people have, somebody being dishonest about something, and something that's true.
Instead, Cormis says people should try to understand how scientists approach their work. He says be curious and look for the evidence.
Another thing you can do is when you hear certain claims, use something called active open-mindedness. What scientists do is they think about it from all different angles. They challenge themselves.
Ann Cormis says, above all, scientists are skeptical. He says when you see a story about a scientific study or maybe hear a politician making a claim about the environment, always ask, how do they know that? There's more at AlleghenyFront.org, if you're skeptical. That's the Allegheny Front Environment Update. I'm Carol Holsapple.